Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's the Dark Mark Show, your Thursday night freak show. And I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Josie Cat is on her way. Apparently, she's trying to find that free parking that is very rare here in downtown Los Angeles. But I do have a couple of friends with me. I haven't seen them in a while. I saw Emery. Actually, Emery shushed me at a comedy show a couple months ago.
Did I shush you?
You did. And you were right to shush me, because what happened was I took the bait. Some woman challenged my gothness. She did. She's like, you're not really goth. And so we got
gothicity.
My gothicity. Yes.
There's no true Gothman.
Apparently not. Well,
that's the no true Gothman. Fallacy.
No, there are true Gothmen. And go to a goth club, none of us work out, so we're either really skinny or really fat. But so she challenged me on that, but there was a show going on. And you were right to shush me, and I haven't seen Heather in at least a year.
Were you arguing with her?
I think I was. I think I was trying to keep it low. She was the loud one, but
yeah, right, I didn't know. I remember that happening. It was It was over in Glendale.
It was Virginia Jones's show, who's been on our show.
She's fantastic.
She's terrific. She's been on a couple times in her character, Lady Blood Meadow.
Yeah,
and we're gonna probably do something together. I'm talking to Emery and Heather Henderson.
Hi.
And if you listen to podcasts, you know these people, because their podcast actually has listeners and has people that actually listen to them. They have the Ardent Atheist podcast.
That's right.
And the Skeptically Yours podcast.
That's
and these
correct.
These are big podcasts that get big guests. And I'm so glad that you're here. And actually, the reason that we still have a Dark Mark show is because of these people. I'm going to go through the history real quick, waiting for Josie to come in. And then we're going to have a whole conversation. You two have interesting pasts, and we're going to get into that. A lot of stuff going on. But
I didn't do it.
You were on Dance Party USA. Don't give me that.
She did. She was. She has.
Yes. Yeah, so, and there's all sorts of other things. But
you're showing your age.
I didn't even know about it.
going through her old shit, and she just found a huge trash bag full of, I don't know if trash bag's right, a big plastic bag full.
It was a trash bag.
A trash bag full of fan mail.
Right.
And I was like, Jesus. It's a pile of fans. It's like the kind of thing that you would see in a sitcom where they're talking about people getting too much fan mail.
Right, right. So
it's bizarre.
So it was like when you see those movies where they're like, we're going to send a bunch of letters to the White House, and they throw over this trash bag,
right.
And
exactly
there's all these letters, this pile of letters in the White House.
And it covers the character you're pouring them on. The pile goes too high off the table, and you can't see the guy anymore.
Right,
that's what she has.
It becomes like the Scarface mound of cocaine, but it's of letters.
Yeah.
So you were Lady, Baby Heather, is that what it was?
Baby Heather.
So Dance Party USA, now, I never saw Dance Party USA, that I would admit to, but is that like an American Bandstand, Soul Train sort of thing?
It's kind of like American Bandstand, but it was in the 80s and 90s.
Was that on the East Coast exclusively, or was it nationwide?
No, it started out Dancing on Air, which was on, it was a local show in Philadelphia.
Right.
On Channel 17.
Where you're from?
I'm from New Jersey, but just right across the bridge. And then it went nationwide and went onto the USA Network.
Oh, okay.
So 5 days a week it would be on the USA Network.
And you were baby. So were you wearing like baby doll clothes or
No.
So what was the pitch to sell that show? They had already done American Bandstand. Soul Train had come along.
And don't forget the Nia People's Party Train or whatever that was?
I don't remember that.
Oh, my God. That was so long ago.
I remember that one.
They've already had shows just like this. And then somebody went in and a local pitch and was like, here's the deal. All right? We already got these other two things, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to dress people up in clothes that we wear today. We're going to do the same thing. And we're going to call it something different.
It's going to be a hip-hop Soul Train and American Bandstand.
And then somebody said, what it was? Can we get someone who's kind of like half black and half Jewish? Can we get that?
That's exactly what happened.
Is that the pitch?
How did you know?
Who was the host of Dance Party USA?
There were a few hosts, but the one that was there the longest, I got to look it up. Anyway, the guy.
I don't think the details are important here.
The guy that was hosting, they had a falling out, and so they decided to have the kids host after the last
time. So you hosted at some point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So our star has walked off the show. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to grab some kids off that dance floor. We're going to give them a microphone, and we're going to keep this show going, because that's how show business works.
And everybody seemed to pick up that you were so obsessed with Prince at the time.
Yeah.
Well, it started out that I had always been obsessed with Prince as a young kid, and I had wanted to look like him, dress like him, and stuff like that. But I was a poor kid, so I couldn't really afford it.
Did you like pencil in the mustache? Or
no, I already had my own mustache. And so I went to the thrift store and got clothes from there and tried to cut it up and sew it myself and make myself look as much like one of Prince's entourage as I could.
You really sewed your own stuff?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
You could have just put on like the doctor outfit and say you were the keyboard player, like the doctor's coat.
There were already people kind of doing it. The kids wore their regular clothing. And then kids that ended up staying around and becoming regulars usually would try to put their own kind of style into their regular character.
Right.
So people had their own kind of flair, each person did.
But how far you've come. Now you're the host of Ardent Atheist.
Who would have thunk it?
You're the lead singer of the No God Band. And you're with this guy, Emery. I think about that time was that when you were doing radio in Kansas City or
years ago, 90s?
Yeah. 90s? Was that about the time? When did Dance Party USA? When was that on?
Dance Party USA? Well, I could look it up. I have this wonderful device in front of me.
Well, let me look at it.
Only that was a way to figure out the answer.
Hold on, I've got the internet.
Some
right
sort
here
of device, you know, some internet.
So you were doing radio in the 90s?
I did. I had a short stint at KY102 doing the. It was just a Saturday morning show at KY102 called Emery and Saturday Mornings with Emery and Rain.
Right.
So I came along at a really unfortunate time. I'd probably be in radio today if I hadn't come along at this point in time. But
right,
I had only been there for, I don't know, 9 or 10 months when all of a sudden they decided to change 102's format from the classic rock that it had been since it was born.
Right.
And that means everybody was just thrown out of the building.
Right.
Basically. And then they went.
Was this around the time Nirvana came out?
I don't think so. No.
Anyway, Dance Party USA was run from 1986 to 1992.
Well, I've got the Wikipedia page here, and you're actually mentioned on it. Heather Day was nicknamed Princess on the show because
she was
a fan.
That's not me.
That's not her.
Is that a different Heather? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, not me. Was my name Princess?
I don't know. I didn't watch the Dance Party USA.
You said my name.
Uh-huh. It says Heather Day.
My name's not Heather Day.
Okay, I don't know what.
Baby Heather.
Heather Henderson. What am I thinking?
Baby Heather.
Baby Heather. You were Baby Heather. So there were two Heathers. You know what's weird? I've only met one woman named Heather that was unattractive. Isn't that weird?
Heathers are really attractive people. I mean, they made a movie and they named it Heathers for that reason.
Which I've never seen.
You've never seen
the movie?
I refuse.
Yeah? One day I'm going to.
I will not see that movie unless I'm in a room with five other Heathers.
let's hook that up. If anybody's named Heather, 1-800-893-9562, we might have a screening.
Just have a screening of Heather.
So they went from classic rock to what?
I do not remember what format they switched to. I'm not going to say because I don't remember, but it didn't fucking last long. It was a staple in Kansas City.
Right.
It was the classic rock station in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And changing it made zero sense. It just was the most bizarre move I'd ever seen. It was almost like somebody had a bunch of money invested and they needed to crash it down so they could collect the insurance money. It was fucking weird. And there was so much backlash that within 6 months, 8 months, somebody just came in, bought it back up and restored it to its original glory. And us little guys that really weren't major draws, we weren't really put back in there.
Okay.
So I got flushed right out with that.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, that's radio, though.
Listen, I got to go to school. I got to learn how to do what we do now.
Well, and that's the thing. I think that what a lot of podcasts are missing, and possibly this one as well, because I don't have experience. But I think the best ones are the ones where people have radio experience.
You know what makes me nuts about podcasts? I've had this conversation at least 20 times.
Right.
Oh yeah, you're a podcaster. I'm thinking about doing it, man. Here's our plan.
I hear that from comedians every day.
Okay, well, tell me how often you hear this one. All right, what we're going to do is I'm going to get some friends together, and we're going to totally just, like, talk like we always do. And our angle, lo-fi, man, all lo-fi. That's our fucking angle. Nothing fancy, nothing special. And I'm just like, cognitive dissonance is an amazing thing. It's really an amazing
and
thing.
And let's be honest, that's 90% of the podcast.
That's
there.
Mostly what people are out there doing. So if you want to sound different.
Exactly. That's totally what I did not want to do.
Yeah.
I did not want to sit here with a bunch of my comedy friends just bullshitting or just my friends in general bullshitting. I really wanted to do a show and have interesting people on every week.
Why are you pretending like you have friends?
I don't, but that's...
Speaking of podcasts, you never did finish the story about how we saved your life.
Okay.
What?
I will, but before I do, the original, according to Wikipedia, the original host of Dance Party USA was a fellow named David Raymond, who was also the Philly Fanatic.
Oh, man, he dressed up as the Philly Fanatic, which is spoofed on The Simpsons.
Right, which I don't think he dressed as the Philly Fanatic on the show.
No, he did not. Mm-hmm. But there was another host that was there the whole time I was there, and he was a really great guy, a friendly guy. I loved him to death, and I was there when he had the falling out, but I can't remember.
I'm surprised that there's even a story about someone going from mascot to host of TV show. That is bizarre to me.
I'm surprised that's the only story I've ever heard.
Andy Gary.
Okay.
He's the guy you knew? The best host.
Yeah. Okay. So
she's picking sides in this.
She is. Well, she does pick sides. She's never one to back down from an opinion. I've heard your podcast.
Yeah.
Neither one of you are, which is what's great about it. How You Saved the Dark Mark Show. Just to give a brief history, because apparently Josie's driving around trying to find a parking space like crazy. Let me
stop
get into
it.
The...
We've already established that.
Okay. So,
can we cut that part out?
Right.
I'm shocked that my name is not in here.
Are you pissed?
I had to start with Dan's dance party.
Everybody, all the other kids are.
Well, you know how to fix this, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Way that we're going to fix this is we're going to contact someone that we know who spends a lot of time and actually employs, has volunteers who will make this right for the skeptic and atheist community. And we're talking about the Gorilla
Skeptics.
Those folks led by, what's her name? I will think of her name, Susan Gerbic. Susan Gerbic, they've been on our show, leads this group of people who make sure that skeptics and atheists are well represented and properly represented on Wikipedia.
Well, that's what's
great.
It's
really great. It's a not-for-profit project. It's really awesome.
Well, why do you have a Wikipedia page and you don't? Emery has a Wikipedia page.
He just got his.
Yeah, I did not have. I have one after the Aristocrats. It just showed up. Someone put it up.
Right.
And I thought, that's cool. That felt great.
Right.
And then within a year, somebody was like, what happened to your Wikipedia? I don't know. And I went and looked. It's gone. Just taken down.
Right.
And then when you look into it, they decided I wasn't significant enough to have my own page.
But you are one of the leaders. Both of you are leaders in the atheist community.
That fucking pissed me off beyond bizarre.
I just don't have mine yet. I've talked to Susan about it, and there's a lot of work that goes into it that I have not done. So,
and by the way, did I read right that you had a small role in Mannequin 2?
Yeah.
Yes.
Really? Yeah. I got to watch that again. I don't know how.
Why do you get in that mood when people mention these things you've done?
You know why it is? It's because I was like a kid back then, and it was like, you know, child star turns atheist and doesn't do any more acting ever again. I want to be known for the shit I'm doing
now.
You're
a lead singer with
an old God band, and you're on two highly rated podcasts.
Well, I want to be into movies.
She's never happy.
Apparently not.
She's never happy.
Back to How We Saved Your Life.
Well, here's the thing. The reason that I keep
in
bringing
the
up
of
Josie.
Sex, she actually yells out, she goes, I want to be having sex better later.
Right. I want to be having sex in the movies.
Yeah. Yes. Wait a minute.
That's it.
Yes. No. So I guess tomorrow you'll be at the Guardians of the Galaxy seeing something else in 3D.
Bow, chicka, bow, wow.
Exactly. The reason I keep bringing up Josie is because when she comes in here, I want to get into all your stuff, the Aristocrats, your career, your singing career, all that stuff, how you guys know Penn and Teller, all that stuff. Because I know she's been in your home. What happened was we were on the GoCast Network. The GoCast Network. We were the last two shows added to the GoCast Network.
Yeah.
You guys started, and I started right after you. And you already had a successful podcast, and I was just starting out. And then about a month after I started, they took all the equipment out of the John Lovitz Club where we did our podcast.
Locked the door.
They locked the door. It was so weird.
It was like on TV.
And that was after I did a show where I had a woman like gyrating on the table. It was a whole thing. And I would have never let her on the table, but I'm like, this is probably the last podcast I ever do here. And then, so we did podcasts at your house, at your apartment.
Yeah.
You were kind enough to let us do it. And I thought maybe it'd be 2 weeks. I was looking for a thing, and it lasted 2.5 months.
Yeah.
And we had some great shows. The first show, if you recall, we tased a woman's nipple.
I do remember that.
And the second...
I actually blurred that in a video for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, and you helped me get my website going. You helped me get things. And I'm glad that... I mean, I love being here at Skid Row Studios. It's almost our one-year anniversary, but you guys saved the show. Because if we didn't... It was a show at your house. I mean, I don't know what would have happened. It just, we had a little momentum going, and we really learned how to do the show. And Josie and I really got our chemistry on air going, doing it at your house. So I can't thank both of you enough.
Oh, you're welcome.
So that's why.
But depending on your perspective, we're to blame.
Right. Yeah, well, exactly. If you're listening to this, I knew that was coming, and I set you up perfectly for that, Emery. But, and by the way, I did want to mention we do have sponsors now.
Yeah.
We had sponsors then, but we have actually audible.com is our sponsor now.
Right.
And looking at audible.com, You know, one of the audiobooks they have is our friend, your friend. I've never met him. I'd like to meet him. I'm a big fan. Penn Jillette's God Knows Signs You May Already Be an Atheist and Other Magical Tales.
It's a great book.
It is a good book. He reads it himself. 7 hours and 43 minutes. If you go to darkmarkshow.com, click on the Audible button next to my smiling face, you get that or any book free. We had Sasha Gray on the show.
Cool.
She's got a book. She reads
She's an
it.
Amazing anal porn artist.
That's what I hear. I've never seen her porn.
You have to check out.
I keep hearing this, and
no one takes it like she does.
Honey, how do you know this?
So you haven't watched this with him.
I was nothing.
Right. And Josie's here. If you can go get her, Jenny. Or yes, please. So there's other books. There's Stephen King books. It's great. If you go to audible.com or audibletrial.com/darkmarkshow, or just go to darkmarkshow.com. That's the easy way to get it. We're also sponsored by dammittees.com. I didn't see any atheist tees on dammittees.com, but they do have Aleister Crowley shirts. They have Cramp shirts. I'm just scrolling down. Rocky Horror Picture Show, Spanky, Our Gang, Woman Haters shirts, Lenny Bruce shirts. All sorts of great shirts. If you go to dammittees.com.
I wonder if they have shirts.
They have a lot of shirts. Oh, look who's here. Hello. Speaking of shirts, Josie Cat is here.
Hi, Josie.
Hi, good to see you guys.
Hi.
It's been forever.
Long time.
You get 10% off any shirt off dammittees.com. They have Frankenhooker shirts. All sorts of great shirts. So we were talking. You will have to tune in. Hi, Josie. You want to say hello to the dark minions out there?
Hello, dark minions.
Well, we were. You missed Heather's Dance Party USA and
what?
You'll have to listen to the show and Mannequin 2 passed. And we were also talking about how they saved the show because we did a show at their house.
True. For two and a half months.
You used their bathroom. You actually drank from their dishes. I did not.
I drank from their dishes. Did I?
You said that like you wouldn't.
No, remember what? Your birthday show? You remember your birthday show?
Did I do something that was weird?
Not only did you take a shit in their toilet, where I'm assuming, I don't know, you used their bathroom a couple times, but.
How does he know these things?
Yeah, he's obsessed with this. Who paid attention for two and a half months?
No. Trust me, I listened to the shows back. No, I remember. Remember your birthday show at their apartment where we had the two guys from the Rhythm Coffin. We had Gruesome Garrick and Scary Carrie, who was actually a woman. And we had the Queen of Spank, Nikki Rouge.
Right.
Nikki brought you some wine, and you're like, Heather, glasses. You remember that?
Good for you.
And it was funny because Heather was. You guys shot her a look like.
Keep her in her place.
You're in my house. The fuck are you doing?
Keep her in
her
place.
I was probably thinking, get it yourself. It's right there.
I think that's what it was.
We were there to serve.
Wow.
You know, the only show that made me crazy was sitting there listening to...
The Psychic?
Yeah, made me fucking nuts.
Yeah,
just nuts. It was all I could do not to just completely just clock her in the face and go, didn't see that coming.
Well, first off, the Psychic is one of Josie's longest friends.
She
went to high school with Josie. But I will tell you, she was a nice lady, but it was funny.
She's very sweet, but she's just deluded, in my opinion.
Well, if you recall on the show, I was debunking Psychic saying... You know, it's all a guessing game. It's a man, it's a woman, it's a man, it's a woman. It's your uncle, it's your aunt.
Yeah, you called her.
And then she did the exact same thing. She's like, no, that's not what we do. And then she did the same thing.
Yeah.
But she's Suzanne Gray. She's a very nice lady, so.
Why did you just have to say her name? After you bagged on her?
I didn't bag on her.
That's so fucked up.
I said she's a very nice lady. How's that bagging on her? And by the way.
No one knew who we were talking about.
Right. And by the way.
You should have left it like that. Right.
I'm trying to get people to...
The minute you walk out the door, I'm going to start fucking talking trash on you.
don't you already?
No.
Yes, you do.
Well, now, wait now, Josie. Do you think that psychic powers are real?
I have no idea. I don't...
But you don't have a position on it.
I don't have a position on it because I can't say what people see in their mind or hear. So I'm not going to answer.
So when you got the water reading from our other friend, Terry Huberman, on your birthday, did you believe what she was saying?
You know, a lot of what and I'll say this about astrology. It's so, like you said, it is very general. So, you know, what she said was very general, and it could have been applied to a lot of people.
Right. Which is usually the case for all psychics.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay for one, personally.
Right.
So say the host of Skeptically Yours.
Well, I mean, not everybody is an activist. You know what I mean?
Right.
Heather and I are activists.
You are. Yeah, absolutely.
We consider Skeptically Yours, for example, it's all about that sort of thing. We consider psychics to be not just... inaccurate, but harmful. You know what I mean? Allowing people to go throughout their lives believing that they have the power to read the futures of others, that's a harmful practice, in my opinion. And that's why I am an activist. In no way, shape, or form do I think you need to be an activist.
Well maybe.
Maybe, but in other areas.
Right, maybe people don't understand.
Things you could care less about.
People don't understand why it's harmful. That's another harmful thing. People don't understand why
For me, I focus on things that I feel that are harmful, like Monsanto's and, you know, things that are killing us, you know. So, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, psychics... they want to do that.
But the thing is, she came on a show. She didn't charge. She made money. She was just having fun.
Say you're someone who just lost their dear mother.
Right.
And you.
What a lovely thought.
Yeah. You don't know. Maybe they have a question about their mother. They're feeling really, really, you know, guilty about something. And they go to a psychic who then pretty much just tells them what they want to hear to make them feel better.
Or doesn't. Tells them something completely awful. Yeah. Sylvia Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I remember that show where you did the show and you cursed out Sylvia Brown.
Yeah.
Justifiably, because she told somebody, if I recall correctly, she told somebody her daughter was alive. And she
litany
wasn't.
Of stories
no,
like this.
Told them her daughter was dead.
She always
was dead, but she was still alive.
She always went to the darkest fucking place. It's bizarre.
Right.
You know, most psychics, especially the open eye psychics, by that I mean the ones who know that they're full of shit. They know that they're pulling a scam and using age old techniques. They're very aware of the magic tricks they're using.
Right.
That's the open eye psychic. Most of those folks. They try to take people to happy places. That's how they're able to use cognitive dissonance to support that practice. Right. I'm helping people. I'm giving them some relief.
Right. Some hope.
I'm helping them feel better.
Well, I agree 100%. There are so many con artists out there and a lot of people getting conned, and that's without a doubt.
And you could say the same thing about religion, and you do.
I do.
We do.
Yeah, we do. That's what ardent atheist is about.
I agree with that 100%. I mean, I think having to pay for a place to worship is ridiculous.
Right.
You know?
Right. And you know, I stayed at home this week. I worship pictures of Josie and Heather, but that's just me. But did a lot of research.
I was watching you.
A lot of research.
Where's my tithe?
A lot of research. A lot. You're in different styles of hair. And I got to tell you, not every woman wears bald well, but you do.
Thank you. I'm not bald right now.
I know. You wear hair well. You wear mohawk well. Trust me, I scan over all sorts of... The reason I wanted to have them on, and I've been wanting to have them on for a long time, but a lot of times you guys are in Vegas. You're singing with Penn Jillette's No God Band. So a lot of times I was like, oh, I should have them on. I have a spot.
What are some of the songs?
Penn writes almost every song we sing.
Fuck you, you're an atheist.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you're an atheist. Fuck you, you're an atheist.
I can Google the lyrics right now. I was going to have a, but.
You know, it's on the No God Band website.
Right.
You can go to No God Band and you can actually see the video from there, right?
I believe it's either there or on his podcast site.
So,
sing us a line.
What? Sing us a line.
I don't think she can sing a line just out of the blue.
I think she's that good.
My favorite, though, is Dave. It's a lot of F-words in his. Yeah.
Dave is a great song. Love theme from Director Scott. I quit my job. The job becomes haunting you.
That is the theme song to his new movie that's coming out.
Okay.
It's called Director's Cut.
Where and Penn did you sing?
For the theme song.
Oh, great.
But the movie is about Penn being a bad guy, a murderer this time. Normally he plays the good guy or the funny guy or the magician. And now he's going to be a murderer.
I know Penn pretty well.
Have they started filming yet?
And I know they're...
I don't know if they've started filming it. I believe they just got the leading lady involved, and the whole movie was crowdfunded. All the money for the movie was crowdfunded.
There was a big debate about that today, whether or not celebrities should crowdfund.
Why not?
Why not?
I agree. I mean, if you need to raise money, I mean, who
what
wants
are the
to
arguments
pay out,
against,
who,
though?
Who wants to pay out of pocket because for a production?
I think the main argument is they have money and we don't.
That's the argument?
That's an argument.
I didn't read it. I didn't have time to.
It's not my argument. That's an argument.
I saw the headline.
Uh-huh.
So what your argument back is?
Well, no. If the argument is that they have money and we don't,
right?
The concept of crowdfunding isn't about having or not having money.
Right.
It's about involving many people in a process to spread out the expense so that it is doable. In other words, if Penn Jillette doesn't, and by the way, for the record, nobody knows how Penn Jillette's finances are. That's a fact. We just don't know.
Right.
His investments could be spread in a way that doesn't allow him to just throw out $1 million. But one of the
I'm assuming he's not on welfare.
Most decent productions are a lot more than $1 million, too.
Exactly.
I mean, who wants to fork out millions?
Well, actually, we had Hal Hartley, the independent director, called into our show, and he raised money for his movie, Ned Rifle, $384,000. He made the movie for that amount of money.
Right.
Which was great, and you know, I'm sure this show probably contributed $40 to that. But, you know, it's so that something on that scale is different.
Let me finish what I was saying.
Zach Braff is the one that's really come under fire, not necessarily Penn.
Yeah. Anybody who wants to, it shouldn't matter who puts up a fundraiser, in my opinion. The only complaint that anybody can lodge is guys like Penn or the guy you just mentioned, I don't know who that is. Guys like Penn, they have millions of people who are paying attention to them and interested in maybe helping them see a project through. And so that's the only complaint you can make, I think, the only logical complaint you can make. And at the end of the day, in my opinion and from my perspective, that is exactly how the world is supposed to work.
Right.
If you have millions of people interested in your projects and they want to back it, that's exactly what that is the perfect example of how the world should function, generally speaking.
I agree with you, that was just an argument. I don't know if you saw any others, Josie, but it seems to be the main one is that Zach Braff's a millionaire, Penn Jillette's a millionaire.
I saw the headline,
I'm barely making rent. How dare he ask me for?
Oh,
whatever.
How funny is that? How dare he ask me?
Well, these are people that have no idea.
Go fuck yourself, you fucking piece of shit.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Look, the bottom line is these are people who have no idea what goes into a production. Yeah. I mean, I know because I've produced, events and music videos, and it's expensive.
Right. Even the small guys.
People do not even understand what goes into making a shitty video or a shitty event.
Even small guys. It looks like we have friends in the skeptic community who make videos regularly, or they do productions regularly. And then when they go and put a please donate button on their page, they get criticized for asking for donations to do their little tiny video that actually takes cameramen and edit people to edit and sets and places to rent, for locations. And people get all in a titter when they ask for money for help.
Let me ask you this then.
What?
What if a fundamentalist Christian asked for money for that similar project? Do you have a problem with that?
No.
Of course not. Why would I have a problem with that?
I'm just asking.
No.
I'm just asking.
No.
I'm just curious.
No. That's a valid question. No question. Right. I'm not jumping on you for asking the question. Right. My reaction comes from one very specific place. I'm surprised that you don't understand about me that I am a fan of the free marketplace of ideas. Absolutely. Right. The other day I read that Ken Ham is really upset that Atheist TV is being launched.
Right.
And he couldn't, actually the headline said, couldn't believe. Ken Ham can't believe Atheist TV. And of course, my response to that is, of course he can't believe it. There's a lot of evidence for it. Right. He only believes things there's no evidence for. Right.
That's a good one.
I think that the key to a really amazing utopian world is letting the crowd decide which ideas win.
And also letting them say what doesn't win. And if you're doing a show that's filled with bullshit, letting the crowd say that to you as right. well, you know, and not getting pissed off when people challenge you on
this. This is one of the reasons I try to work very diligently to educate about the problems of religion and about the problems of psychics, about the right. problems of about any of the scams in the world.
Right.
You
right.
know what I mean?
No, I only asked that to get a reaction out of you. And you almost jumped yeah. around the table and strangled me.
Yeah.
So
big table.
Using that free market ideology, when Passion of the Christ became a huge hit.
Sure.
No problem.
Are you kidding me? No. First of all, I have so many friends who did the same crappy joke about it being, you know. Right.
I won't go see that snuff
torture
film.
Porn. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Snuff film.
So in my opinion, the more of that, the better. Especially, here's what I love about that whole equation.
Right.
You got Mel Gibson making this piece of shit that's right. just absolute fucking just snuff porn. It's just fucking awful.
It is one of the most arousing S&M video pieces I've seen in a long time.
I have no...
I'm sorry, wait a second.
I have no doubts that you took a break from pictures of Heather and Josie and watched that to jack off to for a while. But here's what I love about it. And then on down the road, what happens... We have an anti-Semitic, hateful rant from the filmmaker that made that. This is the free marketplace of ideas at work, my friend.
Right.
That's the kind of piece. That's the piece of shit that made that air quotes loving film about the Christ process, right. about what Christ went through.
Right.
Fuck you.
You're
a piece of shit. Your ideas are a piece of shit, and you can suck my fucking ass.
Ooh, okay. Nice, sweetie. I love Noah.
Okay.
I saw that movie. You haven't seen it yet.
When did you see Noah?
I went and saw it by myself.
You're cheating on me.
I go on dates by myself.
So I was going to ask. Noah's good?
Noah, well, it was a great comedy. Right. And Noah was directed by an atheist.
Right.
Some people don't know that. But I loved Noah. I thought it was a great...
Darren Aronofsky?
I thought it was a great sci-fi film with rock creatures with lasers helping them build the ark. It was...
Wait, they had rock creatures with lasers helping
rock
the
creatures. Yeah,
I
must have missed that chapter in the Bible.
Sorry.
Actually, I've never really read the Bible that much.
I'm sorry. You should have said that. What's the warning you have to give out before you say stuff about
trigger
me?
Warning?
No, that's the other thing.
You have safe words.
So when did you two lovebirds meet? I'm curious about that.
Really?
How and where did you meet?
We met online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
was it a website?
Yeah, it's called Facebook.
You guys met on Facebook.
It doesn't only destroy relationships.
It brings them together also.
That's correct.
Occasionally. So it wasn't even MySpace. It was the Facebook days.
Yeah.
Yes.
And who contacted who first?
I think I contacted you.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I had apparently been putting up...
Did she say, hey, good looking?
No. She was... it was kind of an intellectual discussion early on.
Shocking.
She was interested in talking about this thing I was doing where I was bashing Mother Teresa once a day with a fact that illustrated just how awful what she did was.
Was this before or after she died?
What did she do that you think was so awful?
Everything.
Oh, my.
Virtually everything.
That's a whole new show.
Just one fact.
Okay.
Well,
first of all, she took billions of dollars in donations and didn't use any of that to actually help people get better.
Actually, I've been to India, and there's a location there, and it's helping people.
It's the home for the dying? Is that what you're talking about?
That's all she built. She did not build hospitals.
It's the home for the dying.
That's all it is, a home for the dying.
I will show you, when we're done, I'll show you pictures of the conditions of the people that live in the
home. I've seen them. They're laying on the ground, and I've spent time in India.
Laying on the ground.
Did you know that they washed the needles and reused them?
Yeah, they rinsed out and reused.
Actually, I didn't know that.
Did you know that they would wash all the laundry and then would hang them on the roof, would lay it on the roof to dry? No,
well, that's
no sanitary.
Common all over other countries.
The doctors would come in once a month and would not see patients personally, but would do an overall general view of them. And then the patients were dying. Got vitamins instead of medication that they could have used to actually get better.
They were running a place that didn't help make people better. It only helped people get through the process of suffering and dying.
It didn't even help people get through the process. They were only allowed to sit or lay down in their cots. They weren't allowed to get up.
They weren't allowed to get up. And when you say that that's normal for India, let me read
the whole rest of the country.
Right,
to
but
be
where
honest.
Did the donations go?
No. Let me. I have to respond to that one because that's the big one. I'm going to reframe that for you.
Okay.
We're talking about a woman who has been collecting not millions but billions of dollars to go and do the things that she, air quotes, claims that she's doing when she's not doing the things she's claiming. She's not helping people. What she's doing is she's running something that is fueled by something really awful, and that is that suffering is closer to godliness. When you suffer, it takes you closer to God. That's the dictum. That's the idea. That's the evil, insidious, vile piece of shit philosophy that underlies putting people on cots in a shitty fucking place like that and letting them rot. That's what's going on.
And then...
Okay, so
Mother Teresa's a cunt,
but... Billions of dollars, the fucking Catholic Church. Right. Billions of dollars they have.
But when she
So
was...
shouldn't the place that they're funding be exceptionally better than anything else?
So where did the money go, Emery?
Well, it goes in the belly of the... Go ahead.
When she died, she was sick and dying, where was she?
Yeah, where'd she stay?
I don't know.
In a fucking number one first class hospital with all the amenities.
There you go.
But she collected billions of dollars. That can't have been where all the money went.
No, the money didn't go to that.
Where did the money go?
Spending money. It didn't cost much money to open up a shitty fucking hovel.
Where did the rest of the money go?
It went to the goddamn fucking papal assholes.
Oh, okay.
It went to Italy.
I think the Catholic churches.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
The papals.
He said papal, but I think he meant papal.
I'm not sure.
I have been to the Vatican, too. And I'll tell you, the Vatican Museum is disgusting because it's full of gold and diamonds and all kinds of things.
You mean it's even more extravagant than Emery and Heather's apartment?
A little.
Because you do have a lot of interesting things there.
The bottom line is, if you supported in any way Mother Teresa, you absolutely were supporting the thing you hate. Because that's what that's about. Mother Teresa was a money-making machine, and she was a PR monster. That's what she was.
Oh, she loved having her picture taken.
Yeah. She was the palatable face of an evil incorporated fucking nightmare that is Catholicism.
Well, let's go from that to the palatable face of atheism. How did you meet Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller? Because you work with Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
You work with them separately.
My story's more interesting.
Okay, let's hear your story.
I know. Heather, go ahead. Thank you.
Did you meet them separately or did you meet them together? Or
I met Penn first.
Okay, how did you meet Penn?
I met Penn on Facebook.
Wow. You've really...
And you know, we met online too, but not on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did? I forget.
It was a dating site.
Oh, that's
which
right.
Which is weird because
you
two were already going out. You guys are... polyamorous, is
yes.
that correct?
I remember now. Yep. I remember now.
Okay. Although I was never invited to the bedroom, oddly enough. But you guys are polyamorous?
Yes. We did let you in the house, though, didn't we?
You did. Thank you. Thank you. Only because I brought Josie along.
Yeah. And then, that was the only reason.
And then the one time she couldn't come, it was when I was interviewing Lily von Stoop, and we love her. So.
Yeah, we love her.
Because you were a burlesque dancer.
Yeah.
Are you still, do you still do it?
I still am a burlesque dancer, although I'm in semi-retirement. I'm just taking a break.
Yeah, taking a break.
I'm taking a break.
So if the right burlesque job comes along.
It's a matter of having inspiration to come up with different acts. I've been doing it since 1998. I'm just a little burnt out.
Right.
What are some of your acts, Ben? What's your favorite act?
My favorite act is called...
The one you just made?
The Knife Act.
Yeah, it's so great.
Describe the Knife Act.
The Knife Act, you can actually go see it on YouTube. It's entitled Heather Henderson Femme Fatale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically I'm wearing a very tight outfit and I walk into the song Femme Fatale. Mm. And then I just start to pull knives out
of
my...
Look at him, how creepy he gets.
That's okay. I'm used to it. I pull knives out of my outfit.
I should be used to it. I'm not used to it yet. It's been a year.
Well, when I tell you how I met Penn Jillette, you'll understand.
Okay. So you're pulling knives out of your bra.
Not just my bra, but every aspect of my dancing. There it is.
Oh,
look at her.
Knives just come out of every...
This is on your cover page.
So that's a Monday night tease
with Lily Von Stupp, who runs it. And I just start pulling knives out of my costume, and then I sexily pull them out, and then I drop them on the floor. Or I throw them. I just throw them on the floor.
I'm trying to figure out how to get it so that she can actually stick those into the floor and stuff.
I did it once.
One fell and...
And Heather can rock a mohawk, can't she, Josie?
Yeah, she can.
Heather can rock anything.
Spectacular.
Yeah. Kidding me?
The is a comedic act because I'm trying to be very sexy and I have all these knives. I start off with small knives. Right. And then I start pulling out larger and larger knives. And instead of, placing them down gently, I kind of just toss them in the air. And they fall and they crash and make a loud-ass noise on the floor. And it freaks people out.
So you pull an axe out of your vagina? I mean,
that was one of my good knives, too. Right. That fucking makes me crazy.
All the tips are
broken. When you say you're polyamorous now, does that mean... I know you bring women into the bed. Because I know that you... one of our shows, you pulled a pussy mold out of the bedroom and threw it on the...
Oh, that's a friend.
...table.
Yeah, the
pussy mold.
The pussy mold is what's hung up over the bathroom door.
Right, right. Well, Josie knows. Like
Yeah.
Remember when we had the dirty pussy show? And he's like, here's a dirty pussy. Yes.
But I thought you were referring to me bathroom again.
Right, no. So does that mean that Heather can bring Ben into bed, or is it just a woman thing?
Can be. That's an amazing question. Okay. My response to that is, for me, polyamory is all about everybody involved having the freedom to pursue whatever they'd like.
Right.
And so, of course, anything, in my opinion, anything other than that is Mormonism. And
which our friend Orpheus, who has Orpheus Black, who does have a relationship like that, will be here in 2 weeks. And he set Josie on fire last time. He's going to set them poisonous on fire this
time.
So
did,
you mean literally with fire?
Yeah. We also had what's his name, who lived up in Utah, was poly.
The St. Peter Devil?
Yes.
Yes. Was he poly?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So poly is for me, poly is not like swinging, and it's not like the Mormons years ago. It's not like male gets to do what he wants.
Most people that I know that are in poly relationships, that's the way it is.
Yeah, that's not.
You just
in
air
my
quoted,
opinion.
Just letting you know.
I know.
They have video. We got video rolling.
Yeah, the video is rolling, but yeah, so you see what you do. There's the knife thing. It totally threw me. But okay. So how did you meet Penn Jillette?
I was a stripper in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I had been stripping since the age of 20. I've been stripping for a long time, doing burlesque for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I was getting burnt out with the stripping. And I was tired of the same, I was at work, and I was tired of the same, like, hey, baby, want to dance kind of come-ons to the... All right.
So I'm doing it's the downbeat one, because you're coming to the end of the career.
Anywho,
she doesn't like me doing
walked
the
up to these two guys that were sitting at the bar, and I had just started watching Penn and Teller's Bullshit.
Right.
And I walked up to them and I said, hey, have you ever heard of this show Bullshit? I was just watching this on, on the internet. And the guy said, I can't believe you just said that to me. I said, "What? Why?" He goes, I was the boy who was the Boy Scout in the Boy Scouts episode who was an atheist and was kicked out of the Boy Scouts.
I saw that one.
Right. And I had just watched really that one, too.
Right. When you hear Boy Scouts, you go to bow chicka bow. I know. So go ahead.
And so we had a great conversation. I was really happy to actually talk to somebody who was intelligent. And I wasn't even really an atheist at the time.
In a strip club, go figure.
Yeah, I was coming into my atheism at that point. And so after that night, after I went home, I emailed Penn Jillette on Facebook and asked for, well, I didn't email him. I asked him for a friend request.
Right.
And so he wrote me back and he says, I only accept friend requests of people I know in the flesh. So then I told him that whole story.
Bow, chicka, bow, wow.
Yes.
What? Sorry.
I will kill you with my knives that I brought along. No, I told him that whole story. And so his response to me was, you're a stripper, I guess you're worth knowing in the flesh. And then he accepted my friendship. And then we just kind of...
Ken knows how to work it.
Yeah. We talked almost every day after that.
Game?
Yeah, he's got plenty of game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the smoothest motherfuckers I know.
We talked almost every day after that. And we talked for a long time. Right. And I had said to him, you know, I do these different things. I'm an artist. I'm, you know, a burlesque performer. And I showed him some videos.
Right.
And I... also said, you know, I gotta ask you this. I said, if you ever need anybody to sing for you, I'd be glad to come do it.
Right.
And he goes, well, I don't foresee anything in the near future where I'm gonna need a singer. And then like a year later, he asked me if I wanted to be in the band. Before I was in the band, they had just released their iPhone app, which was a card trick app for the iPhone.
Okay.
And I was asked to be the beta tester for it. So,
Well,
one of the beta testers. And I made a commercial video for it as well, because I'm also a filmmaker. So, you can go on penteller.com.
Many talents.
Penteller.com,
you can see.
You can go under the, you can press the link for the app, and you can see my commercial underneath the app on the page.
I got to get an iPhone. But, Emery, so did you meet Penn through Heather, or did you, through the atheist community?
No, and then... Emery was one of Penn's friends on Facebook, and that's how I became friends with him.
Because they're friends in the flesh.
Thank you, Penn.
In 03 or 04, I was asked to meet with...
That's David Berger. He's got a show 10. Go ahead.
I was asked to meet with Provenza.
Paul Provenza.
And to discuss the possibility of editing a film he was working on. And when I met Paul Provenza... He was like, yeah, I want you to be the guy that does the film after about an hour or two hanging out. Right. And then a few months later, weeks later, actually, he was like, okay, we're going to go meet at Bob's Big Boy and you're going to talk to and meet Penn. So I went and I sat and I answered their questions. I was very conservative with what I said. I wasn't aggressive and I didn't impress Penn.
Did you know Paul through comedy?
Yeah, we had friends in common.
Right.
He had heard I pretended to be in a wheelchair, and he thought that was pretty amazing, and he wanted to meet me. So
another story for another
whole
show.
Other show.
Right.
But I went and I sat, and I wasn't aggressive. And when I called Pete, the guy who works for Penn, and said, "Do I have the job?" He's like, "You don't have the job. You didn't really wow him. Sorry." And I hounded Pete for a couple weeks, and I said, "You got to get me another meeting."
Right.
And he's like, "I don't think you're going to get another meeting. I'm sorry." And I said, "You got to get me another meeting. I need another meeting. I need another opportunity to do this."
Right.
And finally, after hounding them, a few weeks went by and all of a sudden Provenza called me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, I knew what that was about because I hadn't heard from Provenza at all.
Right.
And I go, "You tell me what I'm doing." He goes, "You're going to Starbucks over on Wilshire." And okay. I jumped in the car and I fucking flew over there and I was me. I was huge. I was big. I was aggressive. I was honest. I was racist, and I got the job.
Right. There you go. And by the way, Josie, you're talking about the documentary, The Aristocrats. I don't know if you've heard of this.
Of course, I know.
I don't know if what movies you've
Everybody
seen.
Everybody knows that one.
Okay, this is the man who edited The Aristocrats.
I know that.
Oh, that's right. I posted it today. So, But had they already shot some of the footage or all the footage?
Yeah, they had put some in the can, and we went and got a lot more after I was on board. So I got to be involved in that process, running a camera and being in the room with Provenza and really learning how to interview people well and write and properly. Provenza is a genius. So I'm really lucky that I got to be there for that process. So
it's a seminal. I mean, it's probably the highest grossing comedy documentary of all time, I would think.
No, not even close.
Really?
At that point in time, we were definitely a contender for all kinds of comparatives like that. But what happened was the company that took us after Sundance and decided to produce it, put it out,
right.
Release it.
Right.
That was, what was the name of them? Anyway, that company, they went defunct after about 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And then, and they weren't giving out information about what kind of money. We don't even know how much money was made by the Aristocrats. They stopped reporting about $10 million.
Let's say it's one of the highest profile comedy documentaries of all time.
Yeah, there's all kinds of nice things you can say about it. It did really well. It did great.
Didn't
it?
And the two things, I mean, we were talking about the editing process in the other room, but... Were there high profile? You don't have to name names, although that would be great if you did. Were there any really high profile comedians that you just couldn't use? That would just told the joke and it sucked.
Okay,
so
tell the story you told on the show?
No, I don't. I'm certainly not going to name him. Okay. Okay.
Oh, but now we're not naming people.
It's a him.
No.
It's a him. It was Mother Teresa, wasn't it?
I'm absolutely not going to name him, but we shot someone who was just a piece of shit.
Right.
Just a monster cunt. And he was so full of himself, and he was completely trying to convince us that he wasn't the asshole that every book that has ever written about Saturday Night Live says he is.
Ah.
I'm not naming Chevy. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying he's right. a dick, though. I'm saying he was a dick, and he wouldn't sign the release, and he was an asshole. And
he wouldn't sign the release?
Yeah, no. It was like... someone slid him a release and he picked it up and he started reading it in a way that I thought was comedic.
Right.
And I'm watching him read it, and he's going part of the first part. He's doing a kind of a silly shtick.
Like,
and I started to chuckle, thinking, "Oh, finally, he's being funny." 45 minutes of fucking wasted tape here, you cunt! And he's reading it, and then he goes, rips it in half, and says, "I'm not going to sign that."
Right.
After you got me to tell that joke on camera, I'm not. I have a family. I'm gonna do it. It was bizarre.
That's so weird.
What was bizarre. The whole point?
Well, I don't know.
He wasted everybody's
just
time.
A waste
yeah.
Of time.
Chevy is a fucking retard, time. But I'm
right.
not naming him. I'm
right,
not.
Right.
Yeah. Can I quote you Chevy as a retard?
Yeah, you can quote me on that, yes, but don't use his name.
And
yeah.
then what happened after the movie came
well,
out?
We're talking about
he has
a car.
He has a Chevy.
We're talking
he
about
has a Chevy.
Old car.
And
what,
it was awful.
And what happened after the movie came out?
We were walking along almost Entourage style. You know, as a lot of people in our group are walking along
so
at Sundance.
So Pam Provenza, everybody.
I don't know that Provenza was there during this. He might have been, but we're walking along Sundance, and here comes Chevy with, I think it's just him and somebody else.
That unnamed comedian, yes.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's exactly. I'm not naming
that
Chevy.
Unnamed
but that's
comedic
that's
actor,
who was walking
yes.
toward us. Let's just say that. And so, God, I hate Chevy Chase. And... He's walking
not,
toward
not,
us.
That's not necessarily who it was, but
no,
you
I would
don't
never
like
say that. That's
you don't like Chevy. Yeah, Chevy
no.
Chase is a cunt.
I'm
too.
Just coming up. That are we confused? That's not a real name. I'm just
no. That's a city in the city of Maryland.
Who names a child Chevy? That's the right. dumbest fucking thing any
who,
mother
who names
could
a daughter
ever
mother?
Do.
Who names
thing.
That?
That's exactly right. So
right.
No, I just picked two weird words.
Right.
We're clear on this, right?
Sure.
Okay. So. So Chevy Chase is walking toward us and he stops and says to Penn, I kind of fucked up, didn't I? And Penn was like, yeah, you did.
Right.
Cause we were darlings of right. the fucking that year, 2005 Sundance. We
Absolutely.
Were the talk of the,
right.
we were the talk of the slopes.
Absolutely.
See what I did there?
No,
and I'm not talking about the snow.
I didn't.
Well,
hey,
you're
talking about the racism.
So, oh no, I was actually thinking cocaine.
Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, you I was the one thinking racist. I'm
you're
sorry.
You're the
yeah.
one that took it there.
Yeah. When he said slopes.
All right. High five on that.
Right.
I've had two
we're
high
all
fives
thinking bad thoughts. All naughty.
So he says I fucked up, and Penn right. was like, yeah, you really did.
Right.
He goes, any chance I can still get in?
Nice.
And Penn was like, Penn is one of the most gracious human beings I've ever met.
Right.
He absolutely is. Whatever you think about Penn, you're fucking wrong. He is one of the nicest guys. And he said to Chevy Chase, sure, we'll figure something out.
Right. So did he get in?
We need you to sign the release. And he said, I'll have my management send it right over. A week went by. We still have some cuts. We're doing some
right,
tweaks on
right,
this movie
right,
still.
Right. He could still get in.
They've purchased it, and we're about to deliver it.
Right.
But and we could slide him in. There. We had
was
a couple
he
places.
It up?
Oh, yeah. Well,
oh, God.
He
then
did the same thing again.
Now
he's holding us up. Now he's not even giving. And Pete's calling and saying, what's going
so
on?
Round two,
and his management is going... is not responding, and then when Penn
classic
picked up the phone
Hollywood.
And called, I don't know this part of the story,
right.
I need to ask Penn so I can tell it right, but Penn picked up the phone and called Chevy. I think it went like this. I think he said, Chevy, we still don't have anything from you, and we're about to deliver to Think Film, the company that
Think
took
Film.
It.
Okay.
We're about to deliver to Think Film. Are you going to do this or not? Because I never said I was going to do that.
What
the fuck are you talking about?
But, we're not
are
sure.
You kidding
we're not
me?
Sure about this part.
Are you
yeah, drive
kidding
him
me?
And slap him.
Are you kidding
Well, you can't 100% verify
are
that.
Are you kidding me? If I meet that guy on the streets, I will fist him.
No, that's yes. a fun Boy, thing.
That's
you're
going
to trip him.
You really are polyamorous.
I think he would like it.
You
okay? I'm pretty hot there. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
It's, so,
is Chevy coming into the bedroom with you two? I don't think so.
Never.
But,
never.
But, When does the time go? Now, is Teller a cool guy, too?
Teller's one of the nicest people in the world.
He's just smart. Yeah. He's so smart.
I'm not, listen, I work for both these guys at various times, and I'm not.
Separately, but not together.
I'm not just talking nice about my employers or people that I want work from. Right. They are genuinely great people, and one of my philosophies has been, I will continue to work as long as people are kind and nice and caring and reasonable. And they're beyond kind, nice, caring, and reasonable.
And Teller's an atheist too, I would imagine?
Oh, yeah. No question. Yeah. You would imagine correctly.
He's a gay theist.
Is he gay? I didn't even think about it.
Your gaydar's off.
He's not on my gaydar,
Why are you stuttering?
Well, geez, because I've always had the hots for Teller. That's why I'm stuttering.
I'll tell you something about Teller. He may have been with men, but he seems like the kind of cat that I don't think would turn down anything really amazing.
Well,
so I'm not sure if gay is the right word.
Why'd you go wink?
I like my lovers to be very quiet, so that's why I was thinking about that. But where does the time go?
No, it's not over.
It's
14
seconds
left.
We can go a minute afterward because Nestor's at New York right now.
Okay.
I do want to thank you guys. I want you to come back.
I'm glad to be here.
Oh, we love to have you. It's just a great chemistry in the room. As you guys know now, one question. You guys met. You guys became lovers. What happened first, the lovers or the partnership on air?
Both simultaneously.
Yeah, right at the same time.
Yeah.
And who was Polly first?
Emery was.
Yeah. How'd I guess?
Well, I've been polyamorous a long motherfucking time. But when I met Heather, she had told me that she was interested in that life for a long time herself. But when she would try to go that way, the boyfriend at the time would be like panicked and weird about it. So she's never been, she'd never had an opportunity to try
The ex-boyfriend now.
What's the most interesting scenario you guys have brought into the bedroom with another person?
Craigslist night.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Craigslist night.
Yeah,
some people have movie night. They have Craigslist night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's make a Craigslist night tonight.
And,
okay.
We might have to leave it on that.
Let's leave it on that.
But it's so great to see you guys. I mean, just the energy in the room. Now, you guys are great together on air.
Mm-hmm.
If she was horrible on air, would you have just? Well, how would you have handled that? I know it's a hypothetical.
Yeah, no. If I found out that she was just horrible on air,
why has it got to be me?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Was it your show first, or was it?
It was together. Well, it was his
idea.
Okay,
well, let me ask you: if he was horrible on air, what would you do?
Yeah.
I'd work with him until he got better.
Okay,
that's really.
What were you gonna say, honey?
I was gonna say, I couldn't think of the wording, but I was gonna say I would have her probably work under the table. That was the joke I was going for.
We should end it on Craigslist night, but
yeah, no kidding.
Anyway, please tell everybody where, and I'm sure they know. Where they can find you.
ArdentAtheist.com/... just ArdentAtheist.com and SkepticallyYours.net. Those are the places that you can find us. You can follow me at Emery, Emery, II. You can follow Heather at...
Father.
Heather, you follow me.
Yeah.
Heather Henderso without the N at the end because Twitter is an ass.
Right. Yeah. I was looking for you and I couldn't find you.
Heather Henderso.
Heather Henderso.
Because Twitter is an asshole.
Right.
an asshole.
Right. And Josie, you have a show on August 23rd?
I do. It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
With Jessica Zweig, who was here last week doing splits and showing her booty.
Oh, yeah. She'll be doing burlesque. We have a comedian. I can't remember
his
name.
It's not me.
But he's super cute.
Yeah, he's cute. Which seems to be what counts these days.
Yeah,
sometimes when you're on stage, it's a good thing.
That can help.
Gee, thanks. Go ahead. That's August 23rd, right?
Yes. Genocide is also playing with us.
I look forward to that. And go to
Whiskey Blue.
JOSIKAT on all social media.
Yes, just Google Josie Cat, JOSIKAT.
And go to gothcomedian.com. Tomorrow night, I will be on LA Talk Radio at 4 on the Comics Life. And then I'm doing a show at the Hollywood Hotel, Performers Under the Influence, where I'm going to do a clean set. Not a clean set. I'm going to do a sober set, then get fucked up on absinthe and do a drunk set.
Nice.
So get all your needs at gothcomedian.com. You guys, thank you for saving our show, and thank you for being here. This was so
yes,
much fun.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josie.
We
thank
couldn't
you,
do it without you.
Thank you.
Have a wonderfully creepy week, everybody.